The new book, Eternity Street, tells the story of a violent place in a violent time, the rise of Los Angeles from its origins as a small Mexican pueblo. In his book, John MacFarger relates a dramatic history of conquest and ethnic suppression, of collective disorder and interpersonal conflict. Eternity Street recounts the struggle to achieve justice amid the turmoil of a loosely governed frontier, and it delivers a look at the birth of this quintessentially American city. John MacFarger is the Howard Lamar Professor of History and American Studies at Yale University. He is the author of many books on the American frontier, including Daniel Boone, The Life and Legend of an American Pioneer, which received a Los Angeles Times Book Prize, and most recently, A Great and Noble Scheme. Again, the title of the new book is Eternity Street, Violence and Justice in Frontier Los Angeles. It is published by Norton, and we welcome John MacFarger to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Very nice to have you on the show. Give us an idea of, since you have written about this frontier and about the West, what brought you to Los Angeles and interested you in this story?
Well, I'm a Southern California native. I was born after World War II in Phoenix, Arizona, on an air base, but my parents quickly moved to Southern California, and that's where I was raised. And I've been a professor at Yale University for most of my career, but always fascinated with my home district of Southern California, and this feels like a bit of a coming home for me.
When you look at this history, how much of this was new to you, and how much of it fit into the ongoing narrative of the West that you have been investigating?
Well, one of the curious things about Southern California, and particularly Los Angeles history, is that it's generally recounted as a 20th century story. Perhaps late 19th century, always influenced by sort of myth and Hollywood. In fact, Los Angeles was founded in 1781 and conquered by the Americans in the Mexican-American War of the late 1840s. So there's a lot of history that extends before our common knowledge of Los Angeles. In fact, the history that I'm recounting here is pretty much terra incognita for not only most Americans, but for most Angelenos. And that history is a history of conquest. It's a history of forced labor, Native American labor by the Spaniards. It's a history then of conquest again by the Americans. These lay down the sort of structural parameters of what ended up being a very violent era before the 20th century in Southern California.
How unusual is that amount of violence? I mean, when we hear of the westward progression, it is a violent story overall, but this is a very blood-soaked book.
Yeah, I have to admit that it is. I'm simply following the evidence here. Let me say a word about the history of violence, which is something that historians have been undertaking only in the last generation or so. Violence is a difficult history to write because most forms of violence, assault, battery, rape, arson, these kinds of crimes were reported, defined differently by different regimes, and so it's very difficult to find ways of comparing them over time and space. On the other hand, homicide, this violence, is very difficult to ignore. Bodies are there, they have to be accounted for, and so the record of murder seems to be pretty reliable. And social scientists have told us that violent crime in general, or violence in general, is pretty much a function of the homicide rate. In other words, more murder we're going to find in a society, the more assault, the more rape, the more arson. These things fluctuate together. So by looking at homicide rates, we're talking about the generalized violence of the society. Now, homicide rates today in the United States are about 5 per 100,000. residents. That's the way statisticians compute it. The highest rates in the United States today, about 50 per 100,000. In my study of Los Angeles in the earliest period, the Mexican period, the early 19th century, the rates in Los Angeles were 113 per 100,000. After the Americans took over, the homicide rate rose to a startling 209 per 100,000. These rates are the highest that I've seen reported for any historic place in the United States.
You look at basically a 100-year history of the beginnings of the city. So bring us to the beginning and why that was a good place for you to start.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up on me.
All right. Yes, we're having a little problem on your end, too. My question was, this book looks at about 100-year history. Give us a sense of the beginning of that and why you decided to start where you did.
Okay. As I said, Los Angeles was founded in the 1780s. The Spanish were coming up from Mexico. In a story that famous for any resident of California, founding the missions. That story is often told in a kind of romantic way.
Right.
In fact, what the missions were was forced labor for Native American people. Violence was always a part of the mission regime. And so that really worked its way into the fabric of Southern California, of California in general, and Southern California in particular. The missions were secularized or privatized in the 1830s and 40s, but the regime of forced labor remained. And that was taken over by the Americans after the American conquest in the Spanish-American War. Not only that, but the structure of the organized state on the frontier, whether it was the Mexican state or the American state after the war, was very weak. Very weak law enforcement, weak court system. And in the absence of formal justice, legally constituted justice, outlaw justice was the order of the day. When people could not achieve justice through an official justice system, they tried to achieve it themselves through honor killings, vendettas, feuds, or organized violence like vigilantism. So these become the characteristic forms, what I call outlaw justice, forms of the 1850s and 60s. Not until the 1870s did the court system become strong enough to make an assertion of authority over outlaw justice.
When the... Again, going back to the violence, were there key points and spikes in that, or was it fairly a conflict throughout those that 100-year history?
Yeah, our records extend from about 1830, when the Mexican records become good enough to be able to use reliably, and then through the American period, through the late 1870s, where I end my story. The records show that a rising level of violence throughout the period until the 1860s. So, with the Mexican period, we're averaging two or three murders per year in a community that's only 2,000 or 3,000 people strong. In the 1850s, Los Angeles averaged about 20 homicides a year for a community that was only a little bit larger, maybe 5,000 or 6,000 in the entire county. So that's what produces those very, very high homicide rates. I live in New Haven, Connecticut, where I teach at Yale University. Last year, New Haven registered 19 homicides, which is a community of 130,000 people. That put it on the list of the 100 most dangerous cities in the United States. Los Angeles, with about 2,000 or 3,000 in the city and 4,000 or 5,000 in the county, was registering about 20 homicides a year throughout the 1850s. In a community far smaller than this community of New Haven, who had the same number of homicides. Now, those tend to peak, you know, at 2 or 3 or 4 year intervals. And in fact, when vigilantism responds to those homicides in the subsequent years, you see a bit of a fall off, a kind of deterrent effect. But that vigilantism is that it has a toxic effect on the creation of established and state-sponsored criminal justice. So it weakens the criminal justice system, and then homicide comes bounding back. So what you get are these fits of high homicide rates, vigilante responses, and weakening of the legal system, and then a return to high homicide rates and another vigilante response. That pattern of high rates of murder, high rates of homicide continues right through the Civil War.
When you think about the city that we have now in Los Angeles, how can you see those roots? How clear is this history in the city that we have before us now?
Well, let me make 2 points about that. One is that although the United States, we usually talk about the homicide rate overall or in particular cities. If you look at the states, the states with the highest rates of homicide since the 19th century are in the South and the West. Rates very comparable to the rates in Mexico, whereas the states in the North are much more comparable to rates in Canada, where the homicide rate is really very low. So for one thing, there's a regional distribution, and I think the frontier has had a great effect on that regional distribution. So the homicide rate really has a lot to do with our deeper history in this country. And then the other point I would make is that in communities where there is a sense that the justice system doesn't work, like frontier Los Angeles, people will resort to justice on their own terms. Unfortunately, there are plenty of areas in our country today where people have the same feeling that the justice system does not operate for their benefit, that they can't achieve true justice in the legal justice system. And when those conditions prevail, just as it did in Frontier Los Angeles, people will begin to take the law into their own hands. So you get a rise in honor killings, in vigilantism, in gang violence. These, in many ways, I think, are responses to the weakness and the inadequacy of the legal justice system.
The name of the book is Eternity Street, Violence and Justice in Frontier Los Angeles. It is published by Norton. John McFarriger is the Howard Lamar Professor of History and American Studies at Yale University. Thank you very much for being with us this morning, sir. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Best. Have a great weekend. Thank you. Best of luck with the book. Again, it is Eternity Street, published by Norton, by John McFarriger. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.